All the latest news, views and reaction to the A-League, the Socceroos and Australian football. This is 442 FM.
Hello and thank you for tuning in to 442 FM. I am your host. The boys are back in town for another edition. Con.
Hello.
And Kev's back.
Vroom vroom.
Vroom vroom. Kev's been zooming around the country.
Doing a tour of potential expansion sites for A-League and 442.
And Con, you've been pretty busy as well. You've been here, there and everywhere.
Yeah, well, I went to the National Indigenous Championships in Nowra on Saturday. That was pretty, that was a lot of fun. So interviewed a few people. David Gallup, Jade North, Northern Territory coach, who's half Greek, half Indigenous. Mm. And he told me that at school he was called the Wagga Original. Which is one of the funniest things I've ever heard.
Oh, Jesus.
So, yeah, that was a lot of fun.
I went to the Sydney game, the Big Blue.
Yeah.
It was a cracker.
It was.
It's an absolute cracker. Were you back in time?
I was at the gala night where they awarded out the trophies, so I only saw the second half, and that was the best half to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, for a Sydney CFC fan anyway.
We will maybe come on to that. We've got you had a nice chat with David Carney.
Uncle Dave.
The hero of the hour for Sydney fans, very much so. So let's have a quick chat. Brisbane and Melbourne City. And Kev, you were a little bit shocked to see that Brisbane Roar was second in the table.
I've had a weekend on the lash, completely out of everything. Pick up the league table and suddenly Brisbane have gone up to second place. How does that happen? They were terrible. They were out of the running and it was all looking horrendous. Last time I looked and suddenly they're in contention.
Yeah.
I mean, they're chasing Sydney. But if it hadn't been for Sydney's ridiculously good start to the season, they could even be top.
Yeah.
That's outrageous.
And they completely deserved it.
Is that underneath the radar? That's totally underneath the radar, right?
I didn't even realise. So,
yeah. Last time we spoke, we were bemoaning the fact that McLaren's had gone from highs of one season to nothing the next season, and suddenly he's got two from two, and they're second from the top. And
he's the leading
goal scorer.
He's the number one striker because everyone's injured.
That's just ridiculous. This league. You can't take your eye off it for a second.
They completely deserve this win. They nullified the City attack. I thought Corey Brown was superb. I'll talk a bit about Ryan Grant and Sydney, who I also thought was excellent. But you know, Corey Brown had the task of keeping Kamau, Brandan quiet, and he did. You know, City didn't even record a shot on goal for the whole game. This is the most expensive attack in the A-League, and not a single shot on target.
It's like last season, isn't it? Though they can be inconsistent. Melbourne City, I think they struggle. Maybe they struggled going up from the cold of Melbourne and having to deal with the Brisbane raw humidity. And I guess maybe there's no derby going on, so what's there to play for?
But Cahill was playing, yeah?
Yep.
So Cahill's playing. Fornaroli, 25 goals last season. Brandon, who's been pretty spectacular looking.
Yep.
Bratton, who's been excellent, and they can't even get one shot on target.
There was a little bit of a bust-up with Bratton and Corey Brown at one point. Bratton had a bit of a tasty tackling on him, and they both jumped up, and there was I can't remember who was calling the game, but they said there might be some leftovers from a previous training ground there actually. So but yeah, that's a nice little bit of fire. But yeah, no, Corey Brown was very impressive.
It's quite a bruh tie this actually. Brisbane Roar, Bratton,
Brown.
Yeah.
Brandon.
Borrello. Yeah. There was actually a shot on target after the final whistle, though.
Yeah,
which was a screamer.
Yeah. Outside of the left foot into the top corner.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And the Cahill effect kicking in, obviously, with 20k plus turning up.
Mm.
Presumably not because Brisbane were at that stage on a winning run, because they weren't yet, but they are now.
Well, I don't know. They
that's three in a row.
They've won three on the bounce now, so you know that is you know they've been underwhelming performances. I will say, you know, 1-0 against Mariners away from home, where actually they were probably a little bit lucky to come away with that. Then
that was the worst game of football in the history of football.
Then
not to overstate anything, but
then last week they scalped a pretty decent Perth team. Solid result. And again, this Melbourne City team, Perth can score goals as well. City, I don't know. I was thinking that I was like, oh, they're not shy in front of goal, but actually they've not scored that many. They've scored 9 so far this season, which puts them fourth out of the league. I know Sydney have a pretty free scoring and victory helped by a 6-1 win last week, but you know, it's not 9 in 5 games. Is that not bad? It's not bad, is it?
It's all right. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty...
Just short of 2
just
again.
Just short of average.
Yeah.
I still think probably Van Skip out and Aloisi in for Melbourne. Oh, no, wait. We've been there. Didn't work well. Didn't end well at all. Never mind.
But yeah, no, credit to Aloisi for this one. He set up this Brisbane team to not get beaten, and they didn't, and they managed to come away with a win. Talking about McLaren, you know, he goes out to the Socceroos squad now. 2 goals in 2. He still doesn't look sharp for me, though. I'm still not that impressed by him. You know, it's not the McLaren of last season. You know, the goal this week was pretty much a tap in that he took off Orr's toe. But you know, there was a few chances where his first touch just let him down. And last season it was the ball comes to him out of his feet and he's getting a shot in. He's taking kind of 2 or 3 touches. He's narrowing the angle for himself. He's not giving himself the best opportunity to get a decent shot in. And I'm not sure how he's going to fit into that Socceroos squad.
I think it's a confidence thing, to be honest. I think at the end of last season, there was a lot of talk of him going off to big clubs. And I remember a particular person telling me he was going to go to much bigger clubs than anyone was talking about with Aaron Moy or Tom Rogic at that stage. And that you had to keep my eye on him because you won't believe where he ends up come the next season. And to be honest, I didn't, because he ended up exactly where he was when he finished the season, still at Brisbane. And I think that might be playing on his mind slightly, that, you know, maybe he's not as good as he thought he was, or what the stats suggested he was at the end of last season, that he never got picked up by the clubs that everyone was saying he might. And it's just undermined him slightly. Needs a bit more match time, a few more goals under his belt just to regain that confidence. And he is the player that everyone thinks he is.
Yeah, I thought Holman looked pretty sharp in this game as well. He's kind of playing himself back into a bit of form.
Yeah, I just like the look of Holman. I think, you know, he's probably better than the A-League, even at his age. But I think it's good that he's come back at the time he has, where we can actually see some of that quality. It reminds me of Kalina when he came back. Just that slightly level above, and should probably enjoy it before he does his knee in.
The Phoenix got a win. Go on then, Knicks.
Come on, Krishna.
Krishna. That is the only person that scored for the Phoenix so far this season, with 3. Him and Barbarousis looking very good up the top. A double assist for Barbar and a brace for Krishna. Mark Jones said that the Jets were sloppy at the back. Probably, I'd probably agree with him with that.
I'm a bit concerned that the Jets have had yet another false dawn start to the season, because they looked really good at the beginning, but I think they were just in better. They started the season in better shape, better match condition, and better coached for the start of the season. But everyone else has caught up and overtaken them now, and the inadequacies are starting to show up a little bit, which is a shame.
You normally have a chat with Krishna every now and then. Have you spoken
to him? Well, he was at the beginning of the season. He had goals to be the leading scorer in the A-League, so he was really pumped and confident, and especially after coming back from the Olympics and scoring against Germany. So, I think
there's sort of realistic goals and there's publicity goals.
And he was saying that they had the best squad in the A-League
yeah.
with Barbarousis and Finkler.
I go back to the realistic goals and Poblista goals. And I've got a feeling I know which side he's possibly leaning towards.
I don't know, though. He's he scored 3 so far this season. Top scorer is a joint on 4th. So if he goes the whole season scoring all of Wellington Phoenix's goals, yeah, he'd be up there.
He'd be up there.
That'll bring 10 for the end of the season.
Yeah. But I think because Barbarousis and Finkler moved to Wellington, everyone's kind of tipped them. I've tipped them to be in the top 6, and they just haven't performed.
Yeah. This.
I would have thought they'd be firing a little bit by now, but...
But they desperately needed this after that 6-1 thumping.
I think Merrick
last week.
More than anything else needed that one, because
yeah.
I genuinely don't think he would have survived much longer if they'd had another loss.
They were unlucky losing to Sydney FC as well in the last minute.
Yeah,
they were very unlucky with
it's
that.
Quite magnanimous of you there.
Oh well, got to.
But yeah, that takes Phoenix off the bottom of the table, dropping Adelaide. Yet to get an. Well, only got 1 point yet to get a win, and the Mariners won. Absolutely brilliant performance. Went a goal down against the champions, and you know this Mariners team or Mariners team of last season would have just crumbled, and it could have been 4 or 5. But no, they absolutely turned it around. Connor Payne, what a goal!
That is
what a goal
goals.
To win a game.
Yeah, that's up there. That one's up there. And the Mariners, what's going on? Roy O'Donovan is in the 442 magazine. Paul Icon reckons that they're the best team in the A-League, and they're scoring screamers. What's going on here? It's good times to be a Mariners fan.
Long may it continue.
Still third bottom. Just a brief reality check.
This is for Mariners.
It is.
Come on.
I would not have put money on them being that high.
Yeah. Roy O'Donovan's got a nice goal. He looks really fit this season.
Yep.
Last season he looked a bit chunky.
He did, yeah.
This season he's looking much more fit.
Much leaner.
He's lean, he's quick. He hit the post in the first half as well. Adelaide are just a basket case. But just take a break. You won the league. It took 3 years, 4 years to get there.
Mm.
Now it's just have a
holiday.
Just
on
have
the beach,
a holiday.
On the...
Yeah, just chill out.
Jordan O'Doherty, 19 years old, got quite a bit of game time in this game. He's filled in. I would have thought Chow would have
Danny Choi. Well, Danny Choi has fractured his foot and is out for 5 weeks.
10 to 12 weeks, apparently.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And Karuska's back as well.
So Karuska's been dropped. Choi's out. Choi's been dropped by Adelaide now.
Yeah, because he got it injured.
He's injured, but also... Yeah,
but they just went
Karuska's back,
out.
So they don't need
so
to
all mm-hmm. the good time stories have just faded.
Yeah.
It's probably season over, almost, for him.
Wow.
12 weeks, 4 months.
Jeez. Oh, was it 12 weeks?
That's a shame, that. Gutted for him. Champions League, though, has got to be a bit of a worry. You know, you think like if Adelaide are going on the same trajectory as they did last season, where they give everyone a kind of 7-8 game head start and then try and start putting a bit of form in. If that happens now, Champions League games kick off in February, and you know that could completely. I wouldn't be surprised if they finish.
They don't even have a big enough squad for the
A-League,
let alone for the Champions League. And when I've interviewed a few of the Adelaide players this week, they've actually said, you know, it has taken longer than we expected to get players in, and they're still short, I reckon. They're still 3 or 4 players short with experience.
Mm. At least. They're either going to get found out in the Champions League very early on, or it's going to affect the A-League.
And the players they've lost, really hard to replace, you know, Goodwin and Kamau, especially since they had a big influence in the team's success last season. So
we called that in the first pod.
Yeah.
The lack of quality signings in that Adelaide team.
Yeah.
Replacements for, yeah, Kamau, GTA
as well.
Yeah.
Well, they just got relegated, so maybe they should give him a call.
Get him back in.
Yeah.
Come on, Brucey. One more. You mentioned then Ocon saying that we're playing the best football in the comp.
Well, he's kind of got a point, because the goal that Connor Payne scored, that was around 20 passes. So that was really patient play. They had a chance to cross it in, but they held the ball. Simon Hill gave them a bit of a shellacking for not crossing it in, but then they ended up scoring on the next play. So you got to give it to Paul Oaken. I didn't think he had it in him.
Yeah.
Is that harsh?
No, but yeah, I must admit, I had no expectations of him, but so far, he's doing a mediocre job.
Oh, wow.
Well, I think that's a bit harsh as well, because so far in five games, they've only played one home game. And I'm not saying that Mariners have got a home fortress, but they've played four away games, one home game. They've got 5 points. They're a point away from Wanderers in six.
And one more win and they equal last season, is that right?
Something like that.
Is that true? Didn't they just win two games last season? I may be wrong.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, sounds about right. All right, I skirted over Sydney FC and the Big Blue, because I imagine this is going to be the bulk of the conversation for this one, because it was a great night. I absolutely loved it. 19,000. There was a great atmosphere. The Cove were jumping pretty much the whole game. It was, you know, it had it all. Missed penalties. People getting up in the face of Bez when he missed the pen. That was.
Wow,
that got the crowd going.
Do you think that's good? That's a good thing, a good look for the A-League.
I see nothing wrong with that whatsoever. And to be honest, I think the stuff that I read about Buzz and Archie Thompson coming out with against that afterwards, that's just pathetic wowserism. I just don't hold with that at all. We want to see passion. We want to see fire and anger and getting into people's faces at derbies. That's what derbies are all about. If you start punching each other, not acceptable. But getting in each other's faces, God, of course you do. Of course you want to see that.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I'd rather see that than going back to the Melbourne derby a few weeks ago with all those like nasty little challenges going in. And just stopping the game.
Or worse still, a derby where nobody gave a shit.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, is that what they want?
Yeah.
Where people don't care what the score is, they don't care that the team misses a penalty. Isn't that genuinely what they want? And you know, Boz and Archie both have a history of getting fired up and passionate and rabble-rousing against the team that they're playing against. So I just don't understand where that came from at all. And it's just that I just don't appreciate that at all.
And Archie Thompson is only like not even a year since he's been retired, and he should remember what the stick he gets from Sydney FC fans when he'd play, because there's a couple of chants that weren't so nice. So I'm surprised he didn't stick up for Berisha a bit more.
He was.
All right, just strike that from the
strike that from the record.
The pictures I saw, Berisha was smiling when he had everybody surrounding him.
And Berisha does give it too.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And takes it.
So yeah.
Gives it and takes it.
I like that he didn't give anything back. He wasn't like, he didn't retaliate with any, Albanian kiss on the neck or anything like that.
But yeah, it wasn't that, outside of that, I wouldn't have necessarily said it was a fiery game. You know, there wasn't that many kind of challenges going in. The biggest period where, or the point where there was most chance of someone getting injured was when Zulo hit the table.
Oh my gosh, that is outrageous.
What's the story behind that? I saw a still of that, and I still haven't seen the video or anything.
Yeah,
happened.
It's the table. For some reason, there's a table for the fourth official to put his little board, so he comes out and says subs or how many minutes. But it's a table that's like properly connected into the ground. It's like got one like plastic table, but it's got like one kind of pole connecting it into the ground. And Zulo went for the ball, and it's only less than a meter away from the side of the pitch. And his momentum took him into the table, and as he kind of was falling down, his face took the brunt of the corner of the table.
Ouch!
Yeah,
there's a series of OHS concerns about A-League sides A-League teams and pitches. Because, I mean, you got that happening. You had the linesman falling over the Perth Glory Kitman as well.
When was that?
I saw a short clip of it during the Perth game. linesman was running up trying to follow the offside trap, and there was a kitman for some reason down picking up a bottle of water straight over the edge. And then, of course, you've got all these bloody plastic sheets next to the goal, advertising hoardings, which people have been sliding on. And then you've got the hoardings on the side anyway.
Did you mention the Mariners guy doing a tumble as well, a backflip?
Nope.
Did you remember that one? He was, what's his name? Trent
Sainsbury?
He was running through... And he had to do a backflip, like a forward flip over the hoardings in the glory game. So that's the thing. It's weird for Australia because we are ONHS crazy in Australia. We don't let anyone have any fun.
No, not at all.
But helmets, the fourth official gets a...
They're wearing helmets from next season, I reckon, if this continues.
Yeah, Zulo's... girlfriend will be making him wear a Peter Cech helmet from now on, I reckon.
And the footage is horrifying of that. It's unbelievable he didn't get his eye out or anything like that.
It looks like he's one step away from being ISIS decapitated.
Oh my gosh, and there was so many times they showed it as well, just to horrify you even more.
But like with the kind of the picnic table, the picnic chairs... There's going to be like, they're going to put like a swing or something next, like...
Racquetball.
Yeah, racquetball either side. Oh, that would have been nice. Musket and Arnie playing a little bit of swing ball. I touched on Ryan Grant, Danny Alves.
He has his days, Ryan Grant. He has his days. He's optimal level when he plays. He's really good.
Yeah,
Ryan Grant.
He was brilliant, and he came out and someone mentioned a Socceroos call up, and he was pretty humble about that, which I would agree because he's far from getting a Socceroos call up. But if he can continue to play at that that level of performance on a consistent basis, he'd be in contention for me.
On Facebook, the story about him possibly getting a Socceroos call-up was one of our biggest reacted stories to hundreds and hundreds of people.
And they were agreeing, right?
Yeah, most of them were, actually, strange enough.
Oh, really?
There was quite a few laugh emojis going on there as well, but got hundreds of reactions.
Josh Risden's in the Socceroos squad, right? Has he played a game like Ryan Grant's game...
Consistently.
Yeah, I was going to say Winston's favour is that he is consistently a good performer, and not just one-off flash in the pan like Ryan Grant. I think Ryan Grant is off a decent level. I don't by any manner of means think he's one of the worst right backs in the A-League. I just wouldn't say he's world class.
There was a point when the ball came out of from the Victory defence. Grant took it down on his chest and flicked it over one player, and then someone else came towards him, flicked it back over his head and passed it on, and the whole Sydney crowd was like, yes! I was there with a guy who's actually over from the UK, and he's an Arsenal season ticket, and he was like, this guy's brilliant. Who's this Ryan Grant? I'm going to get on the phone to Arsene, get him to sign him up.
Ryan Grant at Arsenal would be amazing. That would...
But credit where credit's due. I thought he was he was excellent, and he got the assist for the Carney second goal as well.
Yeah, that was a beautiful assist.
The Carney first goal. Let's hear from the man himself. Was it a handball?
Yeah, it was a handball. I know it was a handball, but the only thing I can say is that it was sort of last second. I actually thought he was going to head the ball, so. And the only way I could bring it down was with my arm at the time. So I actually just thought he was going to head the ball. So as he missed it, I sort of just tried to bring it down as quick as possible, which I did. And lucky enough, I went in the side net.
And do you feel that a lot of people have... does it bother you that people aren't talking more about the finish with your left foot of it? The outside of the left foot, and they're talking more about the handball. Did that bother you?
I did take it well. That was a nice finish, but at the end of the day, I did handball it. So, but like I said, I handballed it, but you know, it was sort of a last-second thing. You know, I thought he was going to head it, but, you know, I'm happy it went in. You know, sometimes in football, things like that happen. You know, it goes in circles regarding things like that. You know, we've had a lot of bad luck with ourselves, you know, last year as well, regarding calls and decisions. And so, you know, I've just got to take that one. You know, I was happy to went in, you know, and happy to get the second goal. So, but yeah, I do think, you know, it was a handball, and I understand why the Melbourne Victory squad are kicking off, because we would be the same.
And Connie was the catalyst, really. When he came on, it was like, so Sydney had quite a lot of the possession, but like in that first half, they didn't create anything. Like Brosk had a shot early doors, a shot on target. But yeah, that was the stat, the four shots on target, and three of them were Carney. And he came on in the 60th minute. So, which just, you know, kind of shows that, you know, that they needed that kind of spark. Mm. And man, did he deliver.
Have they started calling him Carneymar yet?
Ooh. What's he called? Indiana Jones reference. Kanima.
Which one's that one?
Anyway.
Thanks for
I was just going to say.
Yeah.
it reminded me of Carney season one, out on the right, cutting in with both his hands.
assist with the arm.
It wasn't handball. It was hands ball.
Yeah.
And there's no rule for that. That's the problem.
Yeah. it's a good point that you made when in the audio. Like, are you a bit gutted that it's taken away some of the attention from the finish, because it was a beautiful finish.
Beautiful outside of the left four. That's put that in the bank, mate.
Mm.
That's.
And then, as we said. Nice little passing interchange with Grant, cut back into the box, and yeah, lovely old finish. 19,500 in attendance. Decent crowd.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's average for
a derby,
for a Sydney Melbourne derby.
It would be double that in Melbourne, though.
And the I think the first couple of seasons we got over 30. Mm-hmm. For a few of those.
Is that just because Wanderers is now the bigger derby?
Yeah.
It's overtaken it?
Yeah. But even before the Wanderers came, I think it was like averaging between 15 and 20, depending on how good Sydney were doing.
But also, it's a long time between drinks for Sydney beating Victory.
Mm. Yeah, it was 9 games.
Which may also have played down the fan numbers.
1,000 days. Yeah,
it's
wow.
Close to 1,000 days since Wanderers have beaten Sydney, isn't it? Is it?
Yeah, it's more than that, I think.
Yeah,
1,010.
A lot of days.
So I think that's probably the difference. When Sydney's on a winning streak, the crowds go up.
Surprising. I didn't think Sydney fans would be so fickle.
who knew?
But you had a chat with Gregor Rook. Come.
Yes, I went to FFA headquarters and spoke to him about a few things. Expansion, the start of the A-League, the TV deal. So there's a lot of things going on at the moment.
Mm. As we're talking derbies, this was kind of like the first part of the chat, so we'll play the audio.
You spoke about at the beginning of the season that you wanted to have a wow factor in the first 2 weeks with the derbies. How has that come across? What have been the key indicators of what you wanted to achieve and how?
That's a good question. So, in respect of scheduling a Sydney derby followed by a Melbourne derby to capture the interest right at the beginning of the season, that was hugely successful. We had over 100,000 people attend in total those two games, over 60,000 in Sydney and over 35,000 in Melbourne. What actually we wanted to do then was hold on to the sustainability of crowds and broadcasts and stimulate membership. That is working, right? So our broadcast figures are up 31% on where they were last year, which is a significant increase in any industry for things to be up double digit, let alone threefold, 30%. The memberships have gone up year on year 6% so far, and our attendances are still on track on our forecast as well. So I couldn't be happier with where it is.
And welcome back, listeners. The next piece of audio we've got from Greg O'Rourke is me asking him about the television deal and how the start of the A-League has affected the price of that.
Oh. How much of a good start has helped with, do you think, with those negotiations, yeah, if it can continue?
Look, time will tell in respect of the financial impact it has on the broadcast deal, but it couldn't have been a better start for us in respect of being able to put us in a strong negotiation position. The fact that we can show our broadcast year on year is up by 30% has got the interest of the people who are out in the tender process in respect of they're seeing a growth league. It's a very different discussion when you're trying to bid for a deal when you're growing to if you weren't growing. We're in a very favourable position when it comes to this, so it has to be positive.
Good chat with him.
Yes. Tom? I spent half an hour with him, but the biggest thing is the expansion. Mm. Like, that's the biggest talking point of all. I put a story on the 442 website today, and he told me there were 6 clubs who have shown an interest to be one of the expansion teams. Mm-hmm. So South Sydney, he mentioned, and what was interesting, he told me that it wasn't Lyle Gorman who was fronting that bid. So talked about Brisbane, Tasmania. I don't know if Tasmania is a real thing, though. Would you?
It's funny. No, it's a real thing. I've been.
Yeah, it's definitely. It's not a myth. No, I think it's funny. You know, there's clubs that people want to see formed, and Tasmania is one of those areas that everyone, I think, wants to see a club there, because there's no AFL, there's no NRL. It seems like a no-brainer that we could go in there and dominate the market. But one, there isn't a stadium, and two, the population is very much split between two centres, yeah, at opposite ends of the state that really aren't going to travel 2.5 hours to go and watch a match in the other city. So it's quite a small population base, and is a potential expansion area, given the way that they're talking about what they expect from expansion, which is bulk crowd figures and bulk viewing for TV viewing figures. Tasmania is never going to pick that, make those KPIs at all. And to be fair, I think Canberra is possibly in the same boat. Again, everybody, I think, would love and feels there should be a team in Canberra as capital city,
yeah,
but I don't think they're going to get crowds of 20,000, and I don't think they're going to get big viewing figures.
And he also said to me that he reiterated David Gallup's comment that they're going to go where the fishes are, and he said that's their number one
lens. Yeah, I mean, they're going for money, they're going for numbers, big numbers everywhere, as I say, TV figures and crowd figures. So that brings you really down to the big cities. And personally, I think I can see a good case for South Melbourne, Geelong, Brisbane Strikers, Adelaide City. I can't see a case at all for South Sydney at all.
But not even Wollongong?
I don't think so. I mean, I can see a case for Wollongong, but I don't think that's going to make the KPIs in itself of what FFA wants.
Yeah.
South Sydney's just going to harm Sydney FC without bringing anything new to the game, and we've got other areas of Sydney we can target. We could target South West Sydney, Liverpool, Campbelltown, Camden, all around that area. We could go where nobody is at the moment, North West Sydney, a huge population base, but absolutely no sports up there whatsoever.
Is that like Castle Hill and stuff?
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing there.
Yeah,
there's a bit of club cricket, I think, and that's probably it. Nobody ever talks about going and targeting that area. I mean, it's a kind of oddball area full of Hillsongers and things like that, but, you know, let's mix it up. There are other areas we can go instead of cannibalising areas that already well represented. It's a mistake we made at Melbourne with Victory. We cannibalised Victory's audience to create City, and it was a complete cock-up as a result. So, yeah, that's my view on it. So, yeah.
The original A-League plan from Brendan Schaub had three Sydney teams and three Melbourne teams from memory. Well, actually, no, so three Sydney teams. So I think there's... And they spent a lot of money figuring... trying to figure out numbers and market share and all that
stuff. Yeah, I mean, so, I think there is certainly room for three clubs from Sydney, three clubs from Melbourne, long term. But I also think we have to look at other city derbies as well. And Brisbane Strikers, you know, it's already an established club with a fan base. Not obviously very huge at this stage, but it's something to build on and just create an inner-city rivalry. Old soccer versus new soccer. Same for South Melbourne, you know. It has a big loyal following already. They've got business people in charge there that want to be part of the A-League, want to make it happen. Why create something... Why create a franchise when you've got existing clubs?
Mm. And Miron Blyberg's already talking it up, right? He's already poking fun at Brisbane Roar. So, and I think I went to his Twitter feed today. He said he doesn't want to run the club day to day. He doesn't want to be involved day to day. But I reckon if he just pops his head in every couple of weeks, there's something crazy.
Yeah.
And then away we go. That's all you need, right?
Yeah. Get more reptile formations. Give them a chance to develop
the 2-2-2-5
into a crocodile or something.
The old Southeast Asian club pipe dream surfaced again this week.
It's just mad.
Madness.
Who was that?
Utter.
I didn't see
it. Was a what was it? A Premier League agent who was part of the initial kind of conception of the Premier League as its as a first division,
and have an Asian side in the A-League, or have an East Asian,
yeah, so like a Singapore and a Malaysian team in the A-League,
because the Asian Champions League is so huge in Australia. Massive. What we need is more Asian clubs taking part, and you know, really cut down that travel bill for everyone too. Ridiculous.
Be some good distance derbies there, wouldn't there?
That would be...
But it wouldn't even make it into the record books, that's the thing.
Yeah, it probably wouldn't.
Still wouldn't be bigger than Auckland versus... Wellington versus Perth.
Yeah. Talking of Perth, they hosted...
Segway.
They hosted Wanderers, who didn't have as far to go. It was a frantic first 5 minutes with Martinez. Nico.
Beautiful.
That was a great finish, that.
Beautiful goal. He hasn't scored many goals in his career, but he took that like he scores when in his sleep.
Well, everyone else was still asleep. He was 30 seconds into the game, and
it was 20 seconds.
Yeah. Perth bounced back from a free kick, sorry, and Keogh, he's joint top scorer on four goals, and it's good having him back in the league.
Yeah, I like Andy Keogh.
He looks like he wants it again.
What happened to the... What's his name? I forgot his name. The Perth striker, the Socceroo.
Adam Taggart.
He played one game, scored two goals. Just on fire, and...
Wrecked by injury. Calf injury.
Gosh.
It's going to be the story of glory season. Said this at the beginning. Got a series of
and
players
Reece
there.
And Reece Williams was on the bench too.
Series of players there that will always be... unfortunately injured one way or another. Hopefully not all at the same time, but it's going to test the physios, the treatment room. Poor old Mark Warren never got a game. He's in my fantasy football team. He's there because I thought everybody else will always be injured.
He's a good sub. Good guy to have on your bench. But Perth played some great football.
I think they look good. Castro was unlucky. He should have scored in the first half.
Yeah, that was a really nice move. That little back heel from Keogh.
Yeah,
and
that was.
He was unlucky not to score. But Santalab rescued the point for the Wanderers.
Was that Martinez through ball from memory?
Yes, it was.
That was a beautiful ball too.
Yeah, it was.
He's looking the goods, Martinez.
Yeah,
but the Wanderers just can't. They're still in second gear, I think.
Only won one from the opening five. and they've got a good chance.
I think basically everybody below Brisbane Roar still hasn't woken up yet for this season.
Yeah,
to be fair,
you've seen glimpses of all of them.
Yeah, but none of them are hitting the straps, and none of them are doing what we might expect. Sydney have just hit the ground running and taken advantage of everybody's lacklustre beginning.
So Sydney top the table, 5 wins out of 5, 15 points, 13 goals scored, one against. Superb start.
No A-League team has had a 5-point lead at this stage of the season.
Victory won the first 7.
Yeah.
But, I believe in that.
Yeah, that's right. But the teams behind them were still
closer.
Were close up. So yeah. No one's ever opened up a 5-point gap at this stage of the season. And if Sydney win again and then Brisbane will lose, that's like an 8-point gap so early. That's ridiculous.
It is tremendous. Campaign they've begun already. I mean, I think if I was Arnie, I'd just be furious that they conceded that one goal. Honestly, that clean sheet record would have stood for years if they managed to keep that going.
Yeah, he loves the clean. He loves the that's his forte. The defence, Arnold. He would have loved that.
It is. I mean, it's Arnie's from his heyday at the Mariners. You know, a really strong defence and just doing enough up front to make sure that you get a good, convincing win.
But Wilco and Yeoman are looking like a solid centre-back partnership. Yeah. Wilco has just brought that, just such a kind of football head. You know, you can see that everyone looks to him to lead, and that's what Yeoman needs, because he's a good player. He's good at reading the game. He brilliant block at one point as well, for I think Rojas in the last couple of minutes, but yeah, he needs Wilk on the side of him.
Yeoman last season was probably Sydney's player of the year, without a shadow of a doubt from me. But yeah, you're right, he just needs that little bit of leadership in the back line just to bring him up to the next level altogether. And you know, they have recruited incredibly well. Getting Zulu at that left back position is fantastic. It's such a strong player for them, and then being spoilt for choice almost with right backs or flexible right backs or adaptable players from other positions.
But that's like, if you think of the teams that can bring the likes of a David Carney off the bench to turn a game around, you know, it's a solid squad.
Yeah, and interesting to see their
salary crap. Yeah, Freudian.
And Bobo hasn't even hit his straps yet either. They haven't really played to his strength. So,
yeah,
it's good times.
Yeah.
So Sydney will host Perth on Sunday evening. So Perth sitting fourth on 8 points. So a win could potentially jump them up to second place, which would be a scalp against Sydney after a very strong start. City will host Jets on a Thursday night at Amy Park. It came up as a bit of a surprise for me that there was a Thursday night game this week. Four days of football.
I genuinely can't see the reason for that.
No. The Melbourne don't have another bloody sport bank holiday, do they, on Friday?
I don't think so, no.
What's going on?
Well, Melbourne is playing... they're playing at Etihad Stadium. So yeah. that's why. It's probably rare to have two Melbourne teams playing at the same time.
In the city.
I suppose, yeah, instead of having two Friday night games.
Is it weird? No, it's probably not weird.
Well, they could have...
Yeah, it's all very strange. Anyway.
Yes, so the actual Friday night game is Adelaide United versus Brisbane Roar. Adelaide looking to get off the foot of the table, and Brisbane looking to challenge for the top.
And you'd almost be begging Adelaide to win.
You would?
Yeah. Just come on, guys, get a win. Don't give them another... Because I spoke to Tarek Elridge a couple of weeks ago, and he said we don't want to give teams another eight-round start again. Because they've done it the last two seasons, they've done it. So just...
They have actually improved on last season, because it took them 8 rounds to get to last place last season, and now they've done it after 5. So that's definitely an improvement.
That's an improvement.
I'd put money on a 1-0 Brisbane winner.
Well, Mr. McLaren's not going to be there, so that's
true.
They might have a chance.
True dat.
Canberra for Central Coast Mariners.
Yeah. A little test of whether Canberra can house a team.
It's not
team.
It's not is really it a glamour test? Match though, is it?
Oh yeah, that'd get me going to the game.
Yeah, that's symptomatic of a match that's designed for a city that has no other football. It's like we'll give them the worst possible game and see if anybody turns up for it. If that gets more than 7,000, I will buy coffees for the next podcast.
Oh.
But that's just blatant.
In fact, I would suspect it won't even get more than 5,000, but there we go.
They have no faith in their fans, because they probably look at this and go, we're never going to get 5,000 or 7,000 at the Mariners ground, so let's just move it to Canberra, get the novelty factor going, probably get some money from the ACT government as well.
Yep. Cynical. Modern
that's
football.
The word.
Modern football.
So it's a Geelong. And the Etihad game on the Saturday night, Melbourne Victory, Western Sydney Wanderers. This is a chin stroker for me. I think this is the game of the round. Mm. I'm interested to see how both teams will kind of set themselves up here. Well, as we said before, Wanderers desperately need to kind of put a few positive results together, and Victory on the back of a big blue loss. They will be more than keen to rectify some wrongs.
And is Karen Bullard ever going to be seen this season?
Who knows? But, I mean, Panitaras was back in the fold.
Well, yeah, well, there you go.
He's all right, but Bullard's out in his arse. The goal difference there is a bit of a telling sign, I think. It's going to be could be indicative of the difference between the two.
Yeah, definitely. Between Sydney and Brisbane, there's a 13 goal difference. With Brisbane on minus one, but and Phoenix with the worst down at the bottom, -7 after that 6-1 drubbing.
I mean, that's a hell of a difference between first and second place. 13 goal difference.
Well,
that's unheard of.
And second place having a negative goal difference anyway. That's ridiculous.
Brisbane have won 3 games 1-0. Oh no, 2-1 and 2-1.
By one goal margin.
Yeah, by one goal margin.
Not enough teams, mate. Not enough teams in the A-League. That's what it is.
Excellent. Gents, thank you for joining. Con, thanks for sharing your audio interviews with us. And if you're in Canberra on Saturday night, get out and watch Central Coast Mariners versus Wellington Phoenix so Kev can buy us both a coffee. Cheers, boys.
Cheers, mate.
No worries.
Thanks for tuning in, and we'll speak to you again next week.
Bye-bye.